Name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Our Lady, Queen of all saints, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Today is the feast of St. Michael of Gargano, and this is where this statue came from. And when you go to listen to Mother Angelica on EWTN, that statue that she is praying next to of St. Michael, I was there at the time when the sister of Mother Angelica bought it. And I said, you know, this thing's a huge, heavy thing. How are you going to carry on? She goes, the angels will help me. But God bless her. And today's the feast of St. Michael. Now, I'd like to consecrate everybody to the Holy Guardian Angels in the future. Time is coming where we'll need the help of heaven in a very powerful way. And when you're consecrated to your Holy Guardian Angel, you ask him for things. He's there. He's the servant of God and servant of the children of God. And when you ask your angel, like, for example, say a strong wind is coming towards you, and you know it's going to cause damage, you say, Holy Guardian Angel, please go to all the Holy Guardian Angels that will prevent this destruction to be around us. And the angel goes, yes, and defends us. The power that we have through the holy angels is astonishing. And we'll get into that consecration later. It's very, very important. As a matter of fact, when you drive from Rome south to Naples and you turn, make a left and go towards the other coast, the eastern coast, you'll go by basically where my grandparents were born. They were born in, I never could say this right, San Angelo di Lombardi. They were born on it. There are a mountaintop there. It's right towards the middle of Italy. And then you drive a little farther, and that was the airport that my father was part of during World War II. And it was really north of Corrado. And right now it's a expressway. And if you look real closely, I used to call it, without knowing what it was, there was all these ramparts going up as you drove along. And I would say they're the exits to nowhere, because there was no cities on either side. But that was the field that the United States used to land their planes to end the war in World War II. And then you go a little farther, and if you drive straight, you'll head to Trinanopoli, and that's where Father Bucci lived. And then if you turn to your left, you'll go to where the mountain where St. Michael appeared. It's the only basilica that was not blessed, consecrated by a bishop, because they say St. Michael consecrated it. And if you get a piece of the rock, you can go down to the store down below and get a piece of the rock. St. Michael promises is if you have that piece of rock, I will be there to defend you and your family. And it's a very, very powerful thing. And then if you take a right, you go, I drive down to Corrado. It's on the way to Bari, but it's right across, basically diagonally across from Trani, where the archbishop lives. And that's where Luisa lived. And it's a glorious place to be at, especially at the tomb of Luisa. And it'd be good that you see it before everything happens. Again, the whole world is going to change. What's coming, what God has planned, is going to astonish the world. So today we pray to St. Michael. We want St. Michael to be with us. We want the holy angels to be with us, because they're going to help us get through the most difficult times. And again, don't worry. What did St. Joan of Arc say? She said, I was born for this time. Here's a teenage girl who fought the English troops and won. I mean, we were born for this time. God predestined us to live at this time. Great things are coming, and there's nothing to be worried about. And if you're afraid, you're saying to Jesus, I don't trust you. If he is our Lord, our God, our Savior, our Master, our King, if he has said, I want you to be alive at this time, I predestine you to be alive at this time, then there's something important that we have to do, and that's what we're reading today. This is our office. This is our duty. This is our life to enter into this. So in volume 25, 12, 25, 19, 28, we find ourselves in the condition of an artisan. This is the triune God who has made his beautiful statue such to astonish both heaven and earth. The artisan's love loves this statue. God loves us so much that he placed his very life in it, image and likeness. So at each act or movement that we do, the statue does. I mean, we're nothing. We're dust. Each act and movement that we do, the artisan feels within himself the life, the act, the movement of his beautiful statue, of his beautiful creation. This artisan loves it with a love of delirium, nor can he remove his gaze from it. But it's in so much love, the statue receives an encounter. It bumps and it remains broken in its members and its vital parts that kept it bound and united to the artisan. So here, God gave this image and likeness to Adam, and Adam destroyed it. What shall his sorrow not be? So Jesus is sharing with us the sorrow of the Trinity over us, fallen mankind. What shall he not do to reorder his beautiful statue? More so since he still loves it, and to the raving love, it is added grieving love, such that the state of divinity is in regard to man. God wants us to again return to the divinity that God has proposed. That's why the priest says this every day at Holy Mass, by putting the drop of water in the chalice. That drop of water is us. We're nothings. We're nobodies. But when it hits that water, hits that wine, it fuses and diffuses and becomes wine. God wants us to again share in divinity. He, mankind, is our delirium of love and of sorrow, for we, triune God, want to redo the beautiful statue of man, the creature that he has created. And since the bump took place in its vital part of our divine will that he possessed, once again, our divine will reestablished in him, the beautiful statue shall be redone for us and our love shall be satisfied. So this renewal of the face of the earth, this sharing in divinity is what God is looking for. Therefore, this is to us. Write this down and put it on your mirror in your bathroom. I, God, want nothing else from you but my divine will to have its life in you. Those are the words of Jesus to us. I want nothing else from you but the divine will to have this divine life in you again. Volume 25, 1-1-1929. And I, who loved mankind so much in the first days of my life down here, wanted to sit myself to the circumcision, suffering a most cruel cut to the point of snatching my baby tears. And by this wound, I, God, opened the door to the human will to let it enter into again into mine so that this wound might heal the wound of the human will and might enclose man once again into my divine fiat. See, the one drop of blood, all it was needed, basically, of Jesus. But this was the beginning of his life that would remove from him the wormwood, the miseries, the weakness, the darkness. And by virtue of my omnipotent fiat, all of his goods would be redone and restored in mankind. A sharing in divinity was going to happen again. Jesus has done this all. And he's given us the book of heaven so that we can understand what he has done for us. He will remind you of everything that he has said when we read the book of heaven. 5:26, 5:12, 19:29. My daughter, my holy humanity redid within itself and over itself all the evils of decayed humanity to the point of dying. Jesus took upon himself all of our sinfulness. He nailed it to the cross. He freed us from the evil one. What's nailed to the cross is our worry, our fear, our anxiety, our complaints, our negativity, our doubts, our sin is nailed to the cross of Jesus. It does not belong to us anymore. This is why Jesus is saying to live in the divine will, you've got to be freed of that. Begin to live a life of peace, joy, and happiness. Begin to live this abundant life. Remember what John Paul II said, get ready for the third millennium. Get ready for the glory of the church in the new springtime of mankind. That's what we're experiencing. Those that are reading the book of heaven, we're beginning to experience this. A new beginning. This is not being about being good and holy and saintly. It's about sharing in divinity. And no one lives in the fullness of it yet. Louisa did. She studied. I mean, think about it. The last 9 years of her life, she was reading and rereading and studying everything that Jesus told her. She knew everything by heart. She was living it. And then what does God do for us? He's asking us, he gives us the book of heaven to study, to read, to study, to put this into practice. Again, everything's going to be redone. Everything's going to be restored. And so Jesus is showing us the way and the how this is going to happen with the book of heaven. Again, I know some people, I read the book of heaven. It doesn't make any sense to me. Well, I said, how much did you read? I remember I said this to one priest before 1996, when all the writings came out of the Vatican. He says, I've read all the volumes. And he says, there's nothing there. And I said, did you read all 36 volumes? He says, yes, I read all 36 volumes, knowing full well they weren't released yet. And I went, you know, you probably read a line or two and couldn't understand it because it's the language of heaven. You have to learn this. And it's very simple. This book is for children, the little children of the holy divine will. It's very simple to understand. Jesus says it very clearly. And as you read it, it becomes alive in you. So let's listen. Volume 26, 5, 12, 19, 21, 9. My daughter, how my holy humanity redid within itself and over itself all the evils of decayed humanity to the point of dying on the cross in order to give to it the virtue of rising again, the resurrection from the dead, to which it was subject. So Jesus says, this rising from the dead is how our God wants us to live. John Paul II said this. He says, we are a resurrected people. We rejoice in the resurrection. And Jesus says, I rose from the dead so that people will rise from the dead before they die. Those are the words of Jesus to Louisa. How do you rise from the dead before you die? No more worry, no more fear, no more anxiety, no more complaints, no more negativity, no more doubts, no more sin. We're getting to that point. Because it's nailed to the cross with Jesus. It doesn't belong to us anymore. He died to that so that we could rise to this new and abundant life, this life of living in the divine will. Jesus says, this is the reason why I did not leave the kingdom of my divine will upon earth, because the humanity of innocent Adam was missing. He has to share this with the risen life of humanity. How do you rise from the dead before you die? It's through the book of heaven. Glorious and immortal, in order to be able to impetrate the divine will to receive the great gift of my fiat. This is what we're doing every day. As you read, Jesus is giving more and more to us. He's letting us begin to live this abundant life of the risen Christ. Therefore, it was necessary that my holy humanity first redo decayed humanity to give to it all the remedies in order to raise it again before death. And then rise and then die and rise again with the qualities of innocent Adam. So as to be able to give to mankind what Adam lost, give back to mankind what Adam lost. Not only this, but I, Jesus, wanted to ascend into heaven with my holy humanity as beautiful, clothed with the divine light, just as it came out of our creative hands, so as to say to our celestial Father, my Father, look at me. It's Jesus. This is what we focus on. It's Mary, Theotokos, Mother of God. Look at the new Adam and the new Eve. Look how my holy humanity is redone, how the kingdom of our divine will is safe in it. I am the head of all mankind. And the one who prays you has all the rights to ask you to give what I possess back to mankind. Image and likeness of God. This is what's coming. This is the great gift that God is telling us to get ready for. Where is the worry? Where is the fear? Where is the anxiety? Where's the complaints? It can't be here. Look what Jesus promises. I, Jesus Christ, am the head of all and the one who prays to you, Heavenly Father, that all the rights that to act with all the divine rights as a human God man to ask to give what I possess to my children. Volume 26, 5:16, 1929. I felt the irresistible need to resume and to redo with you, Louisa, the firstborn, the newborn of the divine will. And now the little children of the holy divine will. All the conversations that he had and would have had with Adam to give you the graces of the teachings. Like he says, I would have given to Adam innocent had Adam not rejected the precious inheritance of my fiat. What does that mean? What he's given to Louisa is it's more than what he gave to Adam. Had Adam not sinned, I would have given him the book of heaven, Jesus says. We are receiving more than what Adam gave that God gave to Adam. That's why we say what we say every day, every Holy Saturday, first the Saturday of Easter. Oh, happy fall of Adam. Why are we happy that Adam sinned? Because the kingdom is now coming. We're going back to where we were with even more, because now we have the new Adam, Jesus, and the new Eve, Mary. It's a new beginning for Christ and his church. He says, I felt the irresistible need to resume and to redo with you all the conversations, to give you the graces of the teachings I would have given to Adam, innocent, had he not rejected the precious inheritance of my divine will. But he broke my speaking. Adam reduced me to silence. After 6,000 years of silence, I, God, felt the extreme need to resume my speaking with mankind. And I'm doing it to you, Louisa, so that you put it down on paper so I can give this to the little children the holy divine will. It's a new beginning. 5:27, 12:29, 29. Bethlehem was my first Eden in which I did and embraced all the acts of the innocent Adam and did in those that he would have done had Adam not fallen. So again, this is repairing and redoing what we're doing. Jesus is teaching us to repair and redo as he did as a little child. Our divinity expected with divine justice my requital in his place. And as I kept redoing what innocent Adam would have done, so I lowered myself and stretched out my hand to lift him up again from his fallen state. Jesus has done everything from the moment he was conceived, from the moment he was born, to the moment that he died and rose from the dead. He completed everything. Volume 27, 6:19-30. Now the kingdom of our divine will is greater, listen to this, than the work of creation. And therefore it can be said that it is the call for our divine being to operate more than all of creation itself. More than the infinite, if you want to say, all the galaxies that exist. All that exists that we haven't even seen yet. The divine will is going to work more than that. The redemption is just the beginning. Now sanctification is going to take place. He says, it can be said it is the call of our divine being to operate more, to work more than creation itself. We haven't seen anything yet. Just that we talked about the angels earlier. The angels are bound. They're bound. These are certain angels are bound. Not all the angels. Certain angels are bound for the last times. And when their seal is broken, each angel will be more powerful than all the nuclear weapons that have ever been produced going off at the same time. Why? This is divine that's coming. What's coming is going, there's going to be a new heaven and a new earth. That's what God is getting us ready for. A new beginning. Why did Our Lady of Revelation say to Bruno in 1947, time has now come to an end? It's not the end of the world. It's the end of this era where the evil one is in charge. It's over. Why is everything falling apart? The kingdom is coming. God is getting everything reorganized. He's saying to each person, what do you want? If you're peaceful, joyful, and happy, he says to Louisa, you are anticipating heaven. If you're worried, fearful, anxious, complaining, and negative, you are anticipating hell. It's that simple. How are you living? Is it a life of peace, joy, and happiness? Or is it a life of worry, fear, anxiety, complaints, negative, and sin? If you listen to what Jesus is saying, what are you anticipating? Heaven? I don't think so. There has to become that peace, joy, and happiness. That's the true life of Jesus, this true life of Mary that they've given to Louisa. No more worry. Oh, but Father, I've got to worry. My family is so far from. There's no worry. Jesus, I trust in you. The final devotion has been given to the church. Jesus, I trust in you. I have confidence in you. I am certain, filled with Christian hope, certitude that you are going to answer my prayers. And therefore, I will be peaceful, joyful, and happy, trusting in you. Or I don't trust in you, then I have to go the other place. You can't begin to live heaven after you die. You've got to begin to live heaven now. That's what Jesus keeps on saying to Louisa. It's very, very clear. He says, therefore, it can be said it's the call of our divine being to operate more than creation itself. So if everything Jesus did in your soul at the beginning of your life, he's saying this to Louisa, and he's also saying to us, what did you go through at the beginning of your life? What did you go through? Everything I did in your soul at the beginning symbolizes the creation. I wanted you all to myself and all mine. To be alone with God is necessary. And you're abandoned, you're ridiculed, you're laughed at, you're rejected, you're misunderstood. Yes, that's what Jesus went through. And he's saying, this is what all that I did in your soul at the beginning symbolizes creation. I wanted you all to myself and all mine so as to be free to do what I, God, wanted. Where all of us, even though baptized, our lives were filled with misery, tragedy, trauma, sin. This isn't heaven. And Jesus says, I allowed all this to happen so that you would come to me, that you would begin to pray. You'd begin to read scripture. You'd begin to read the lives of the saints. You'd begin to want the sacraments and sacramentals. You'd spend time in front of me in the Blessed Sacrament. I allowed these things to happen, Jesus said, so that you would be drawn to me, Jesus. I wanted you all to myself, all mine, so as to be free to do what I, God, wanted. What I, God, wanted, the void of everything in your soul. The rejection, the misunderstanding, the misery that you've gone through, to be able to lay my heaven and the many sayings on the virtues were stars that practiced by you little by little in the way wanted by me, I used in order to adorn the heavens I had extended in you. Jesus is in charge. And one of the things the saints have said is that when you get to heaven, you're going to thank God for everything. Everything. Because you're going to realize, if I didn't go through this, I wouldn't be close to you. If you didn't allow me to go through that, I wouldn't be close to you. It was a way of God leading us closer and closer to him. Others have rejected, angry with God, misery with God, hating God, hating the church. What Jesus has done with you, you went the other way. You said, you got to help me, Lord. And the Lord does that. Therefore, I, God, wanted to redo in you and repaid for everything evil and unworthy that the human family had done. In order to call back the son of my divine fiat, it was necessary to prepare with decorum the soul, Louisa, and us linked to Louisa, who was to receive as the first, the newborn, one with Louisa, the life of my divine will. Everything that you've gone through, physical, spiritual, mental, emotional sufferings, Jesus says, I allowed that to happen to bring you to where you are now. And he says, when you get, see, Jesus is going to show us what suffering is about. Suffering is redemptive. When we get to the kingdom, he's going to say, this is what I went through. This, the suffering has redeemed mankind. And I offer this suffering to you. And you were complaining and negative. And all of us will say, well, let me go back to earth to do this, to suffer. And Jesus will say at that point, you had your opportunity. Volume 28, 4, 1, 1930. Therefore, be attentive. Be attentive. That says to me, when I read that, Jesus says, read what I'm telling you. Be attentive to what I'm speaking to you. I want you to begin to live this abundant life. With your requital of love, this is the rounds to repair me for so much coldness of all mankind. This is the round. This round book, I know it looks big. And when you read, so people go, I haven't got the time to read it. This is as you start on Monday, and it's like the breviary, but it's not the breviary. It doesn't take the place of the breviary. But as you read, you get a phone call and you go, oh, that's what you do is you put a marker on it. Okay, here I am. And then you answer the phone and then you might not be able to get back. Okay, don't worry about that. Jesus is saying you've read enough at this point. Now you got to do a little work. Next Monday, continue where you left off. Okay, and then read. And then God will say to you, someone will knock at the door. Oh, somebody's here. You put a little marker there. Okay, I'll be back at this point. Put your marker in there and then go. And then if you can't get back the following Monday, continue to read where you left off. Read the whole thing. It might take you a month if you're busy, but God is going to, you're going to enter into this abundant life of the praying of the prayers that Jesus prayed, that Jesus taught Louisa, that Jesus, Our Lady taught Louisa. This is really glorious to say the least. I love the Easter Pentecost. It's just so much. It's so much. Okay. So therefore, be attentive with your requital of love to repair for me the so much coldness, the indifference, the sacrileges of the other creatures. Volume 28, 4, 12, 19, 30. My daughter, if you want to defend me in a way that all the offenses might not reach me, repair me in my divine will. So this repairing and redoing is our life. You see something on television, the radio, the newspaper, the magazines, that's offensive to you. And you know it's offensive to God. You say, number one, Lord, I'm sorry this is happening. Thank you for showing this to me. I'm sorry it's happening to you, Lord. And I want to repair this. I want to redo this as if it never occurred with all the sins of the world. To give back to you a perfected creation. You, Jesus, do it in me as you did it on Calvary with your mother. I want to learn what you taught Louisa. I want to repair and redo in the name of everyone and everything, past, present, and future, as if mankind never sinned. So we can go back to what Jesus says. It will look as if Adam never sinned. Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful Catholics. Enkindle us the fire of your love, which is the divine will. Send forth your spirit, and we will be recreated. What does that mean? We're going to be in his image and likeness, Our Lady's image and likeness, the new Adam and the new Eve. Why? So that the face of the earth can be repaired through the power of the Holy Spirit reigning in us. It looks like you're doing nothing, Jesus says. But in reality, you're doing everything. It's the true life of Jesus, the true life of Mary. So he says this very, very clearly. Repair me in the divine will. As you repaired in it, you shall form a wall of divine light around me, Jesus. And as they offend me, Jesus, the offenses shall remain outside of this divine wall of light. They shall not enter inside, and I shall feel defended by this wall of light. That is, by my own divine will reigning in you, and shall remain as though safe. Everything's being repaired. See, Jesus has to present to the Father a perfected earth. That's what Jesus has to present. Why are the new heavens and the new earth? That's the perfected earth. It's to begin to live heaven on earth. He says very, very clearly, so your love in my divine will shall form for me a wall of divine light, a wall of divine light, and your adoration, your reparation shall form for me a wall of divine light, of divine adorations and reparations in such a way that the lack of love, the scorns of mankind shall not reach me, but shall remain outside of these walls of divine light. That's the kingdom. And if I feel them, I shall feel them as though as from afar, because my daughter, my little children of the Holy Divine Will, linked to Louisa, has surrounded me with the impregnable wall of my most holy divine will. Nothing can conquer it. No sin can conquer it. It's heaven. My daughter, the love, the reparation, the prayers outside of my fiat are just little drops, while in my divine will, the same things, the same acts, are seas, oceans, gigantic walls, endless rivers. Let's see. So Jesus is saying that his divine will is going to prevent any sin. See, think about it. When the kingdom of God comes on earth as it is in heaven, okay, what does that mean? When the kingdom of God comes on earth as it is in heaven, the devil who's been banished from heaven will be banished from earth. There is a gigantic wall around the kingdom that the evil will never venture into again. That's where we're going. That's the kingdom. This is so great. Oceans of seas, gigantic walls, endless rivers, as immense as my divine will is, so it renders the acts of the creatures. Jesus is doing it in us. It's not, a human can't do a divine act. But Jesus in us is doing that. He's asking us to enter into this abundant life. When Peter walked on the water, when he said to Jesus, if you're the Messiah, command me to come to you. Jesus says, come. He walks on the water. That wasn't an act that Peter did. Jesus did it in him. You command me to walk on the water. Jesus said, come. Peter walked on the water because Jesus did it. It's the same thing for the divine will. When people say to me, well, I'm doing divine acts, and I go, well, what are you? You're starting your own religion? Jesus is doing this. When you receive Holy Communion, Jesus is reigning in us. It's Jesus. We're returning to his image and likeness. The likeness is to do what God does.
Why? Because God is doing it in me. So when you do your prevenient act, gaze in my gazing, Jesus is gazing in your gazing. Speak in my speaking, Jesus is speaking in your speaking. Listen in my listening, Jesus is listening in your listening. We're allowing Jesus to reign in us as Lord and King as he originally planned in the beginning. 5:28, 7:9, 19:30. And then what wrongs did I do? So here, Jesus is saying to Louisa, you think I've done something wrong? What did I do wrong? And what is it that you receive as I would pour from my mouth into yours, the little fountain that came out from the fountain of my bitterness and that creatures give me? So Jesus says, when he poured this bitterness into Louisa, Louisa says, you know, this is wrong. And Louisa, Jesus, God says, what did I do that was wrong? How is I, as God, do anything wrong? I poured the bitterness that mankind has poured into my mouth, and it's horrible. And he says to Louisa, would you share in my bitterness? And she said, yes. And then she thought it was something wrong. And Jesus said, what wrongs could I do? I did not pour sin into you, Jesus says, but part of its effects of sin. And this is why you felt the intensity of the bitterness and the nausea, how ugly sin is. We started this morning with that smell, that stench of sin. I mean, Padre Pio smelled the people that came up to him who knew they were still in sin, who weren't sorry for their sins, and he'd slap them and he'd push them away. Get away from me. The ugliness of sin, the smell, the vile smell of sin. And you, in feeling its effects, abhorred sin, comprehended how much your Jesus suffers, transmuting your being and even each drop of your blood into reparations for your Jesus. Jesus, thank you for showing this to me. I'm sorry this is happening to you. I want to repair this, redo this as if it never happened. You would not have loved so much to suffer in order to repair me had you not felt within you the effects of sin, of how much your Jesus suffers being offended by sin. When you see what your family is doing away from God, when you see that, and you're nauseated by that, Jesus is saying, repair for me, not only for your family, but for all mankind. Not only for your sins, my sins, but for all mankind. Repair, redo, in the name of everyone and everything, past, present, and future. One with me, Jesus. One with my mother that I gave to Louisa. 5:28, 8:29, 19:30. My daughter, you, being its repairer. Aha. Do you hear that? Who's the repairer? Jesus. Who's the repairer? Mary at the foot of the cross with Jesus. Who's the repairer? The one who Jesus and Mary gave the divine will to. That's us as well. One with Louisa. Follow it in all the cause that it makes to you by means of each created thing. Again, this is the rounds. This is the rounds. This is so great. So as to give it the love for love to receive all the sips of the divine life in the depths of your soul. Why? To give it the freedom to let in it reign in you. Do you see what God is doing? You and all mankind. Our job, our mission, Jesus says, is to bring the kingdom of God on earth as it is in heaven. Yes, Jesus gave us the Our Father 2,000 years ago. And now he says, now is the time, because of what he taught Louisa, to bring the kingdom of God on earth as it is in heaven. By repairing and redoing in the name of everyone and everything, past, present, and future. 5:29, 5:27, 19:31. The acts done in my divine will have always been something prodigious. And of their own, they say, listen to this. We are the defense of all mankind. We remain between heaven and earth to defend all mankind with our divine light. We are divine light of every mind, your intellect, of your memory, of your will, the three powers that God gave to us. We are the defenders of our Creator by repairing him with our perennial acts for all the offenses that have ever risen from the earth, beginning with Adam to the last man. We're to repair and redo. The kingdom is coming. He's getting everybody ready. The kingdom of heaven is coming on earth as it is in heaven, like it's in heaven. So Jesus says, though there'll be no difference between heaven and earth. 5:29, 5:30, 11:4, 19:31. Jesus said, I did nothing for myself. I, God, did not have any need. I, God, did everything in order to redo, to rehabilitate the human wills. My only need was love and wanted to be loved back. I mean, think about that. When you go in front of the Blessed Sacrament, Jesus says, you're here for one reason, to love me. My only need was love and wanted to be loved back. If you're going into church to visit Jesus, to kneel in front of the exposition of the Blessed Sacrament, and you're reading a book, you're not listening to Jesus. He has to hear from you, your I love you. Now, in order to receive all my helps, all my pains, and all my works as operating works, speaking voice, and helping messengers, the souls must unite her human will to my most holy divine will. That's what we're doing. And immediately, she shall feel herself re-tied back to God. And all my acts shall offer themselves around. Here's the prayers again, your rounds to pray, to do their offices in order to sustain, cement, and rise again the human will. Do you see what God is doing? He's called us to live at this time, to work with him and his mother through Louisa to bring the kingdom of God on earth as it is in heaven. Think about what he said about divine mercy. The final devotion that I give to my church before I return. That's why John Paul II went all around the world. He could have tried to fix the church. But what did he do? He prepared the people for what? The return of Jesus. I remember when we were in Colorado and everybody's going, John Paul II, we love you, John. Everybody's singing that. And he leans into the microphone and he says, we'll see. See, to love him was to obey. See, true love obeys. And what did he say? He said to the church, I want Eucharistic adoration in every parish. He didn't say for a day. So what did he do? He put perpetual Eucharistic adoration in the chapel in the Vatican to prove this is what has to be done. As pontiff, he said this. Jesus says very, very clearly, all my acts shall offer themselves around to do their rounds, to do their offices in order to sustain, cement, and rise again the human will back to the divine will. 5:30, 12:8, 19:31. She, my celestial mama, says to her creator, adorable majesty, in my love that always springs from you, there is a love for all of my children fused within my own will, that I, with right of queen, have withdrawn into the sea of love, this ocean of love. That's the divine will. The divine will is an ocean of love, so that you may find in my own the love of all mankind. If they adore, if they pray, if they repair, if they suffer, from the heights of her throne descend the rays of divine adoration, the rays of Our Lady's prayer, the rays of her reparation, unleash the vivifying rays from within this ocean or this sea of her sorrows. And she invests and surrounds with the adoration, the prayer, the reparation, the sufferings of the creatures. So we'll end there and we'll be back in 15 minutes. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.